Revelation chapter 3. So we've been talking about hindrances. And lately I've been talking about hindrances, about lack of growing spiritually. And tonight I'll be preaching on being lukewarm. Being lukewarm. What that mean? Well, we could see it here in the scripture. Look here in Revelation chapter 3. Look here, verse 14. And the angel of the Lord of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am sat down with my Father in his throne. That he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let me pray. Lord, I surely need your help, and I just pray that you would help me with the message. And we ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. Now, it's interesting when you go to the book of Revelation, God tells us, we could see this would have been the current, right, at that time where God gave a message to John to give to these seven local churches. These were churches, and if you go through those seven churches, this church, he doesn't say anything good about. The last church, Philadelphia, even though they were a small church, he said they had little strength. He said, but God's going to open a door. No one's going to shut it. And here, if you look at this, if you think about it, this was a church, right? This was a church. They would have been a Christian church. And in this church, there were those, I'm sure they were believers, but also based on what he's saying in this church, there were those that were lost, those that did not know the Lord. Just because you think about it, as you go to a local church and you even be a member of a church, doesn't mean that you're saved. You have to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. There's people that are trusting in their membership or trusting in what other things. That will not get you to heaven. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to see yourself as a sinner, nothing you could do to save yourself, and believe that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. You're placing your faith 100% in him to save you, and you can be born again. But I want you to see what our Lord says about this church, this local church. In verse 15, it says, I know thy works. You know, God was fully aware of this church. It says that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, right? They weren't hot for the Lord, like zealous. And they weren't cold, right? He said that they were lukewarm, spiritually neutral. It was kind of like they had a foot in the world and foot outside, right? They were kind of just on the fence and they were just walking. And it was just, you know, everything's okay, you know? I'm going to church. I'm religious. Everything's fine. And matter of fact, if you looked at their selves, how they viewed their selves, it's interesting. It says, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now we see how God saw this local church. Now the word spew, you think about it, it'd be like kind of a, you get milk, bad illustration, but you get milk that's a couple weeks old and has those little lumps in it, you know, and you take it and put it in, it's like, you know. You don't want to spew it out, like puke it out, you know? That's what God was thinking of this church. Again, local church. This is would have been a Christian church. How God saw this church. You know, it's interesting. This church would have started out well. But then what happened? Somewhere down the line, they moved away from the truth. And look what he says here. He says, because thou say, this is how the church viewed themselves, right? This is how they viewed themselves as his church. He says, because thou sayest, it wasn't God. God already said how he saw this church. But he's talking about this church. He says, I am rich. That's how they look at it. Financially, they were rich, right? They had wealth. He says, increased with goods. I mean, we're blessed. Look at this. That's coming in, right? Now, again, don't misunderstand. Don't take these verses out of context. God's not saying that if a church has a nice bank account or a lot of money that's coming in, they're wrong. You don't apply that, right? To rightly divide the Word of God, you take what the Scriptures here, you take it in context, what he's saying, right? So this church, yes, they were well off. That wasn't their problem. But the problem was that's what they were trusting in, right? Look what they were saying about themselves. They were saying, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. We don't need anything. We got everything, right? They were lukewarm. Amen? Kind of the spiritual condition of America today when you think about it, right? And here it is, he says, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, right? There were those in this church that were lost. But they thought they were okay. They came to the services. They would come faithfully to the services or come once in a while, thinking, well, I'm okay. I'm a member of this church. And if I'm a member of Laodicean Church, look how things are going financially. Things are going good. We must be right with God, right? Look how great we are. We don't need any help. And here he says, you're wretched. You're blind. You're naked, right? He's talking of them spiritually. Their spiritual condition. So when we see this church, how they viewed their self was, I'm great. You got to come to this church. Look how great we are. But the reality is, God wasn't there. What matters is, it's not how you and I see us. What matters is what God says. Too many times we may pat ourselves on the back. I'm not telling you to beat yourself up, amen. But a lot of times you may pat ourselves on the back instead of just going and saying, Lord, show me, right? Show me the truth. Search me, as David said. Search me and try my heart. You know? Lord, you know. Ask God to show you. You know? Stop going to the mirror and saying, look how great I am, right? Look how handsome I am. I am pretty handsome. Right? But anyway, that's what they were doing, right? I'm rich. We don't need anything. Amen? And God says, you're wretched. Your spiritual condition. If we would have went there to this church and walked into that church, you know, it may have been a maze. Again, there's nothing wrong with the church, and we're hoping to renovate this building. What a blessing that would be to move it up to the 21st century. Nothing wrong with that, right? But that was their focus. Their focus was the things of this world. They were dead spiritually. And because they were lukewarm, they weren't cold, they weren't hot. God said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Now, the reality is, God's not saying he wants you to be spiritually cold. But spiritually cold is better conditioned than being lukewarm. Because spiritually cold, you know it. When you're zealous and hot, you know it. When you're lukewarm, you don't know it. And that was their condition. And here it was, God is trying to get this church's attention. And he says here, verse 19, as many as I love and rebuke, chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. He's telling this church what to do, right? So again, he says, as many as I love. They were a Christian church. There were believers and others that part of this church that weren't believers. So when you look at this, the reality is they were a Christian church, but they have lost their way. And now God's telling them, when he looked at this church, he said, you know, I feel like I could spew, right? Just puke. Even though they would not see themselves that way. And here it is, he's telling them to what? To repent. And then he tells them what? Be zealous, therefore. Get on fire again. Now we see this in contents of this local church that's here. And I'm going to take that and apply it to our heart. Are you cold spiritually? Are you lukewarm or are you hot? Now, don't answer that yourself. Don't look in the mirror and say, look at me, right? You know how you can answer it? Ask God. Ask the Lord to search your heart. Ask the Lord to say, Lord, I know what I think, but what matters is, what do you think? Because this church, if they would have said, if I would have preached and said, hey, you search your heart yourself, this church would have came back and said, Mark, look at us. We are good. We are great. We are in need of nothing. Too many times we'll do that, and we may look and say, look at me. But the reality is, what we need to do is say, Lord, you look. And God already knows. What we need to do is say, God, open my eyes. Maybe I'm blinded to something, and I'm not seeing something. Lord, help me to have a revival in my heart. Lord, help me to be on fire. And can I tell you, if we would be serious with God and seek God, the book of James talks about that and says that if we draw nigh to God, we really have a desire and we want to get closer to God, the Bible says He shall draw closer to us. It's a promise. God has given you a promise. But the reality is, the reason we are not close to God, or some people may not be close to God, or times we're not close to God, it's not God, it's you and me. It's never God's fault. God's always there. He's waiting for us to draw closer to Him. But the problem is, we just may be cold or lukewarm. Let me ask you today, do you still have a zeal there forth? That passion? Zeal is passion, right? So zeal can, there could be bad zeal and good zeal, right? There's some people that have a zeal for evil. It's evil to do. But here he's talking to zeal. Be a zeal to do what's right. Do what God wants you to do. Ask yourself, do you have that zeal that's in your heart? What is your spiritual condition in God's eyes? Hopefully you know the Lord is your Savior. Hopefully you're born again. Hopefully you know that. Hopefully you have that settled. Can I tell you, if you have that settled, it's a wonderful blessing to know that you're going to heaven. But you know what happens sometimes in our Christian life? We know that we're saved, and we can lose that zeal, the fire that's in our heart. Don't get lukewarm. You know, at one time in America's society, you go back in history, there was a zeal in our fellow Americans many, many, many years ago that had a zeal for God. A great awakening had happened in America. Even in the early, 1900s, there was a time where bar rooms would close, a revival that would break out. Can I tell you, we need to be honest about the condition of America. The condition of America, I mean, the reality is this, we're not close to God. We're not. We may be very religious as a nation, but I'm telling you, look, it's like we're lukewarm. We need to get back to have that fire for God again, that zeal that's in our heart, that I want to know God better. Amen? And that's what he's saying to this church, having this fire. Do you care about the things of God? But if I would have asked you to come in tonight and asked you to write down the top five things that you hope to see accomplished in your life, before you had heard this message, how many would in those first five things you would have said anything about God? How many would have took maybe a top 10 list or a top 15 or a top 20 list, and maybe it would have took a top 100 list where you finally got to 99 and think, I can't think of anything else. Maybe I can do this for God, right? I mean, really, where is that? I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, the Bible talks about the seek Him, right? Seek these things, amen? seek Him. So where is that fire that's in our heart? Because if there's not a fire, do you remember what He said to this church? Where was it? Down here. In verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Mark, he was on the outside. He was on the outside of this church. He wasn't even in the church. Now that church would have told you, "We're doing great things. Look at what we're doing." Can I tell you, I'd rather have nothing and have Jesus. Amen? I'd rather we would meet out there in the field, amen, and turn our lights on in our vehicles and have God that's in it, than have the greatest building that's here, the biggest bank account in the world, and not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm thankful for a place to meet, amen, and I'm thankful for what we're able to do. But what I'm saying is, we need God. Here he's talking about this fire. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now this is talking about the current conditions that we could see today, but he also talks about the current conditions that will be in the last days. The last days started when Jesus arose from the dead. We know we're in the last days. But look what he talks about, this condition that we would see. Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, he's talking about the current conditions when he was saying about getting closer to his return. "Know this also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own souls, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy." Now think about that. One of the characteristics, he talks about disobedient to parents. That is so common today. But at one time, you know, parents used to train and teach. And parents have stopped. Parents have, one time there was a biblical principle. They would apply a biblical principle to raising their kids. And what is it? They have left. It's kind of like they're in the fence. They have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And they want to raise their kids and say, "Well, we got to do this," right? And they're not raising their kids according to the scripture. And they're disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Isn't this their society? Unholy. Without natural affection. You know what that means? Parents not caring for the kids. Truth breaker, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And look at this. Having a form of godliness, religious, spiritual, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They're religious without God. Amen? They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Most people in our society are very religious. But most people in our society don't know God. Don't know Jesus Christ. So this is the condition of our world. I'm telling you these things. Why? Because you think about that Laodicean church that's there. You will have people that will come to you and say, "Hey, if your church is right with God, why don't we see it exploding?" That church, a Laodicean church, and people, they would say they had it all. Don't allow what people on the outside says. The reality is, you look at what God says. Are we following what the book says? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. We have to think about the current condition before our Lord's return. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And can I tell you as a free note? Everyone's getting all excited about Israel, Hamas, you know, the peace. And I'm thankful. The hostages, amen, they're coming home. But you rest assured, they're not going to have peace. They're not. You may say, preacher, how do you know? Well, because the Bible tells us, amen. There is going to be something that's going to break out. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene and have a peace pact, but it'll still be a false peace pact. There is going to be something that's going to happen. Amen? So, but anyway, what you could see is things are turning that way. It's setting things up for the Antichrist. It's kind of exciting from that. But look what he says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I could preach on that for a very long time. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. In this portion of Scripture, there's two things that are discussed. He's talking, one, of the rapture of the church. And then he's talking about the second coming at the end of the tribulation period. Always remember that. There's two different things that are mentioned in here. That ye be not soon shaken in mind nor troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. For as the day of Christ is at hand, right? Even back in those days, there were people trying to confuse him and saying this and that, right? And he was saying, hey, just follow the scripture. Remember what we told you, right? It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, right? Talked about Christ's return. Except there come a falling away first. You know what that means? People moving away from God's word. Not following the scripture. This used to be, at one time, in Christian churches, this used to be the final authority. What does the Bible say? But that's changed. It should not have changed. You know? And that's what he's saying, they're falling away. That Laodicean church, what was it? They started out well, but now they were to the place they were thinking, hey, we're all good. And God said, I'm on the outside knocking on the door. You guys are lukewarm. Something wrong. So, and he says, for that day shall not come, except there become a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That speaks of the Antichrist. We know the Antichrist comes on at the beginning of the tribulation period. Be a false peace pact he makes with Israel. And in the midst of that 3.5 years, he'll break it and he'll turn on Israel. There'll be a temple that will be built. And he'll go into that temple and say, I am God. And he'll turn against Israel and go against them. When he speaks of this, the reality is this. That when he talks about coming back, that's second coming. First coming is before the man, when he comes, amen? Before he signs that peace agreement with Antichrist, with Israel that's there. This is talking about, at the end, Son of Man be revealed, the son of perdition, speaks of the Antichrist. That's at the end, amen? So at the end of the seven-year tribulation is when he comes back, and that talks about the return of Christ. But I'm telling you this from this standpoint. The days that we're living in, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. I mean, we could see the day approaching, the Bible tells us, but I have no idea when it's going to be. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be after my lifetime. I don't know when he's coming. But I know this, the Bible says as we get closer and closer, our society is not to get closer to God, it's going to move further away. You're going to have people who say, hey, look, all these things that are going on. And what we need to do is look at the book. Amen? God said there's a falling away. And that's what we're in. We're in a falling away. Now, I can't say it in my lifetime, when I was a little kid, maybe, you know, it was when I was 40-some years ago, I remember going to a church, and you know, a bigger church, but they were a sound church. Most churches I talked to, most people I talked to, there's not a quote-unquote growth. As in sound churches. Why? Because there's a falling away. And if there's a falling away, what I'm trying to tell you is this. So you have to think about the influence of the world is always out there. The devil that's out there. But those that are going to say, like the Laodiceans, hey, we're doing what's right. Don't follow what they're saying. Follow what God says. Amen? Don't say, oh, I must be hot with God, because that church would have thought they were hot, but they were lukewarm. The question is, are we lukewarm? Look what he says here in Luke. Luke chapter 18. So when Jesus comes back, there's not going to be this spiritual revival, and there's going to be all kinds of people following the Lord, right? People following the truth of the Scripture. That's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, look what he says here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Excuse me. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, now in contents, you can see there's a parable. In this parable, he was telling this lady the importance of praying and not to give up. And God will answer prayers, right, in his timing. But look what he says here at the end of it in verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's what God said. He wasn't saying, will he find believers, per se, but there will be believers. We know the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about what? People truly following. Shall I find faith? People that are following the Scripture. So when you think about that, you know what that means? There is going to be a lot of people that are very religious. Remember, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Don't allow them to influence you. Don't follow their example. Follow what's in this book. Do you have a zeal? I mean, do you really have a desire? David was called a man after God's own heart. And when, you know what you'll think about David? Before, yes, he got into adultery. But he said that. He told Samuel, he found a man after my own heart. That was when he was a shepherd boy. David was humble. Humility. David was submissive. David loved God. He loved God. You go through the Psalms and you see some of those Psalms that are there that God gave him. His heart pulls out for people. I mean, he loved people. David said he was persecuted. And what? It didn't change his mind. I mean, he loved God. He loved his word. David wanted people to know about him. David didn't care. Remember that his one wife, Michael, she was all mad at him because they brought the Ark of God home and he was out there dancing for God. I mean, he was rejoicing and she was like, you know what you did? You know, made yourself look vile in front of these people. He said, you think that's something? You wait. Amen. What was it? He loved God. There was a desire in his heart. He had a zeal for God. Even then, he committed adultery, and he knew it. He repented of that. And then he had a desire, what? For a temple to be built, house of God. He had a zeal. Let me ask you, do we still have a zeal for God? Do you really want to see people get saved? No, Mark, I can't save anyone. You know, I can't, but I could still tell them. You know, I could still plant a seed in water. But do you really have that burden in your heart? Did you ever see in Augsburg, we may be a small town, but you know we have kids? No. I know it's hard to believe. Some adults act like kids, but I mean actual kids. Do you know the majority of the kids that are in this town are lost? You know, there's a lot of kids that are in this town that are not blessed to have a dad and a mom at home. There's a lot of kids in this town that are in some horrible situations. And they don't understand what love is. There's a lot of kids, I don't know about a lot, but even more than one would be a lot from this standpoint, that have been taken advantage of those that were close to them, if you understand. There's a lot of kids that are in this town that are hurting. There's a lot of young people in this town and adults that are hurting. And only Jesus can help them.
Amen.
Or are we going to do something about it? You know? I mean, we may know, but what are we going to do? Is there a desire, that zeal in our heart to say, you know, I want these boys and girls to know about Jesus? And when you do, Doris, it's going to be a sacrifice. Because then you're going to have kids that by those that say that it was supposed to be by the ones that loved them, did some horrible stuff to them, and they're going to think you're the same. And they're not going to be nice to you. They're not going to be kind to you. You know why? One reason why. Because they want to find out, do you really care for them? Sometimes kids do that. They put it on defense because they've been hurt so much. I'll put it on defense. I can control that. Right? But are we going to have in our heart a zeal that we love them and try to help them to have a better life? Can I tell you, there's people that need Jesus. Amen. And God has you here for a reason, that you can tell them about Jesus. But if we're lukewarm, we're not going to reach them. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we can save any of them. But at least we can tell them. They could see something different in our heart. Wouldn't it be a blessing, you know, in our church that we would see another kid's class? Well, that can happen, but it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to, see, someone will have to be, get that vision in their heart and say, I want to do something for God, and it's going to be a sacrifice. But it's worth it. Where is our zeal? Do we really have a zeal for God? Don't answer it yourself. Laodiceans, they answered it. But asked him, Lord, search me and try my heart. Ask the Lord to show you. And when God shows you something that may be different than what you thought, or different what I thought, don't get mad at him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be therefore zealous, therefore. Right? If we would just have a fire for God again. One of the hindrances in our Christian life, there's different ones. We can get like the Laodicean church and get lukewarm, where we don't, our foot's in the world, our foot's over here, and we think everything's good. And God says, I want to puke. I don't want to ever get there, why? Now, please don't misunderstand. I may have stumped on your toes, right? I may have, right? Hopefully I got you a little bit. But I was stumping on my toes too. Do you understand? The reality is we all need to get back to having that fire for God. Loving people that we can show them Jesus Christ. I can't save them. But at least I want to show them and tell them. Get that fire again in your heart. That people will look at your life and say, there's something different. I want to know, what is it that you have? Let me give you one last verse, two verses here, and I'll close. Look over here to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. God's leading me here, so that'd be wrong of me not to go. Look here at Hebrews chapter 12. I'm almost done. I can go to other verses, but I won't. Look here at Hebrews chapter 12. So again, knowing the current condition, God said the condition that's going to be in those last days, as we move closer to his return, it's going to be people are moving away from God, very religious, but they don't know him. It's form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's not going to be easy, right? To live for God in this day and age, it's not going to be easy, right? But look what he says here in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, seeing you also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's saying this cloud is chapter 11. All these people before us that had faith to live for God, right? They did it. You can do it. And look what he's telling us here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. He's the one that gave it. He's the one that saved us. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him, he had joy. What was this joy that God had? Endured the cross. Went through the hardest thing that you and I will never go through. Having the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, without spot, having sin placed on him. The Father turning the back to the Son because of our sin that was placed on him. The shame that he suffered. The torment that he went through. But he saw it as joy. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be in the midst of a trial. Don't lose that joy of serving God. Staying in the center of God's will. Don't let the devil take away that joy. Don't give it to him. 1 John chapter 5 talks about that. That your joy may be full. You can have joy. Even in the midst of a trial. But looking to Jesus. I'm not saying this is going to be easy. But I know one thing. If you keep your eyes on him. And you have a zeal for him. And you keep that zeal and say, Lord, help me. Help me to stay focused and live for you. And help me to have that joy to stay in the... You know, sometimes what has motivated me, when I go to heaven, I want to hear the words, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I'm not going to please the world. Surely not going to please the devil, right? The truth is, there'll be times I won't please you. It's all right. But I want to please him. Well done, that good and faithful servant. And if we're going to hear those words, we can't be cold or lukewarm. I hope that this message tonight, thinking about hindrances, will make you and I go home. I'm not saying you're not on fire for God. I don't know here's who's on fire, who's cold, and who's lukewarm. But you'll at least ask the Lord. Say, Lord, show me. And whatever God shows you, that you'll say, Lord, I want to do something about it. And if that's the case, you know what will happen? It'll be seen. Because true, when you have that true repentance, will bring about an action. And if there is a desire in our heart, a zeal, it'll be seen. I don't want it just to be words. I want it to be action. Hindrances. Being lukewarm. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I know this is a message laid on my heart. And thank you for helping me to preach it. I know it was more a sobering message. But I also know that we needed to hear it. And I pray, Lord, that there would be a lot of people. It would be a blessing if it would be everyone. Was to ask you, Lord, that we don't tell you what we think. We just ask you, Lord, to tell us the truth. And Lord, that we would see a change. What a blessing that would be. That a revival that would break out in our heart. That would impact others. Give us safety as we travel. We ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.